Very excited about our next guest. I've had the chance to interview him by phone on my show a few times over the years and then spent more time with him last fall. We did an event, an online event called Talktoberfest. We had the whole staff here, and the headliner of that was the one and only Bill O'Reilly. So today we take it one step further. I'm very thankful, the gracious time allotment that he's given us today, an entire hour to spend some time with the man himself, Bill O'Reilly. Bill, good morning.
Hey, Bo, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I appreciate you making the time, like I said, this morning, and hope things are well. It's the week of a new book for you. This book I have in my hand that you sent me, the book Killing the Mob, The Fight Against Organized Crime in America, and this is the first of many, but Tuesday was the release date, so how's it going?
Pretty well. We hit number three on Amazon, the book streaking. And as you know, this is the 10th killing book, the most successful nonfiction book series of all time. So we're hoping that the folks like it as much as all the others.
Yeah, you sent me a copy of this, and I've started paging through this, and I'm very familiar with the series. We've talked about other books that you've written, but I was looking at the stats on this, and if my math is correct, this is the 10th book in the series, correct?
That's right, yes.
And overall here, 17 million copies of the Killing series. And the idea behind, I want to talk about this particular one, but the idea of starting this process all those years ago and now what it's turned into, did you ever think that you'd end up having an entire fleet of books with this title? Was that the original idea, or is this something that you wrote the first one and then you see how that does and then you start going down the road of other ideas?
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocked that this is the best-selling nonfiction book series in history. And when I first proposed the idea to my publisher, it was Killing Lincoln. That was the first book. And mm-hmm. he said, there are a million books about Abraham Lincoln. Why would you want to write another one? And I said, because I think I can do history in a fun way, but you'll learn a lot. And I took a lot less money, Bo, mm-hmm. to do Killing Lincoln because I was writing contemporary nonfiction books like A Bold, Fresh Piece of Humanity, Culture Warrior, and they were doing very well. But I pretty much had done it. So I wanted to get into the history realm because I'm a former high school history teacher, and I use the same techniques in my books that I did on the urchins to make them pay attention. And the thing has worked, and that's why America is a great country, because if you have a good idea, sometimes it can really pay off.
Well, I want to ask about this particular new one, but you just made me, you just told me something that's going to send me down a little bit of a different route for a minute here. But what kind of history teacher was Bill O'Reilly?
Well, I think I was the original Mr. Cotter. Remember Welcome Back, Cotter, Bo? Yeah,
yes, I do.
That was me. So I was teaching in a ghetto school in Miami, very tough school. A lot of minority students who, when I walked in, said, who's this Yankee white guy? But I convinced them that history is fascinating. It's entertaining. The people that we talk about are titans, and they should know. And it was a rewarding 2 years to do that. It really changed me and shaped a lot of the journalism and a lot of writing I do now.
Now, it's interesting. You were a history teacher, and when I think back to high school, I think about one teacher, the hardest one that I ever had. It was in 10th grade. It was the world history teacher that I had, Dave Layton at Myers Park High School. And to this day, I dreaded his tests, but I remember his lectures like they were yesterday, and I took things with them. So everybody has that teacher that they look back upon. But when you were a teacher and you had your do you think your students had any clue that this would they'd be looking at you doing what you're doing now back then? Were there things in those days that would have given a student the idea that this guy is going to go on to do what you've done?
Oh, well, I was flamboyant.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. But, you know, nobody could have predicted that I would be world famous. I didn't know that I was going to be world famous. I went back and got a broadcast journalism degree from Boston University after the first 2 years that I taught. And I started my career in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and I worked my way up. But I had no idea that this would happen. But I always bring energy and I bring honesty. And people say I'm authentic. I believe that. I'm not a phony. I tell you what I think in a way that's stimulating. It isn't boring. And, you know, when you write a book like Killing the Mob, everybody in America knows the mob because of the movies. The Godfather trilogy, Bonnie and Clyde, The Sopranos. They all have this image. And it's my job as a journalist slash historian to blow that image up and really tell you the truth about organized criminals and how evil they really are. And that's the essence of this book. And that's what I did in the classroom. I told them the truth about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and World War II and Vietnam and all of that. And kids responded to the truth, as Americans do today.
Do you think you'd ever want to go back and teach high school today?
I would do it. I mean, I can't now. I'm running my own news agency, and I've got 300 radio stations, including our favorite, yours.
Right.
I would do it. I think it's worthy to get kids involved in their country, and that's really what history is. You know, when you read Killing the Mob or Killing Crazy Horse, which was the book last year,
right. You
learn about the United States. And then you can better process the stuff we're hearing today, that we're a bad country. America's bad. Well, that's a lie. And if you're armed with the facts, you can refute that lie.
Well, in our next segment, I want to get more into Killing the Mob and talking about what's in this new book that you've put out this week. But the last thing I guess I'll do to wrap this up, when I asked that question about wanting to go back and teach today, you know, I can imagine Bill O'Reilly going back as a celebrity teacher for the day or a one-off here and there based on what you're doing these days. But so much of our discussions on WBT over the last year and across the country have been about the state of education, because this last year, this pandemic year, I mean, Bill, I have two high school kids right now, and they've been in remote learning for the better part of the last year. And I'm more asking that question about, you know, the way would Bill O'Reilly want to go into a high school in 2021 and be that guy that you were all those years ago? Because, you know, things have changed a good bit, or maybe you don't think that they have that much. Maybe it's just about the teacher as much as it is the environment.
Well, I'd have to teach in a private school, and I've got teenagers too. And I send them to Catholic school here on Long Island because the public school is too politically correct. And I would probably last about 20 minutes in a classroom in a public school because I'm not going to lie to the students. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell them about their country, and I'm going to back it up with facts, and that's it. And I, you know, the principal would have a meltdown, and, you know, I mean, well, his name is Monster O'Reilly, corrupting the kids. He's not telling them that the cancel culture is so good, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't expect I would be well received even in college, even though I have an immense amount of knowledge about history and journalism. You know, I walk into a college and I'm looking at all these far left people, and I go, "You people are on the wrong track." And here's why. I can back up what I say. As you know, you listen to my commentary every day, Bo.
Of course.
I mean, we always back up what we say. And that drives the progressive left crazy. Because they operate in a theoretical world. They operate in a world that really doesn't exist. And if people embrace that, I believe their lives are diminished.
11:45, it's appointment listening right here on WBT and across the country, the O'Reilly Update, and you will hear it today, but this is a very rare opportunity to have an hour-long preview of sorts, because I want to talk more about the new book, I want to talk about things happening in the news today, and maybe even a little bit about how Bill O'Reilly got to be Bill O'Reilly, the origin. Bill, I really appreciate the time this morning, sir.
Listen, Bo, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I appreciate you having me on WBT.
Absolutely. And the O'Reilly Update can be heard weekdays at 11:45 right here on WBT, following Vince Coakley and right before the Rush Limbaugh Show. And I have in my hands the new book by Bill O'Reilly this week and Martin Dugard, Killing the Mob. And this is, well, if you are just entering into this mix, there are a lot of books that have come before this, but this latest one, Bill O'Reilly and Dugard trace the brutal history of 20th century organized crime in the United States through the larger-than-life stories of the most notorious outlaws, murderers, and mob family bosses. And, Bill, we were talking last break about some of the other subjects of your books, like JFK, like Ronald Reagan, like Killing Lincoln. Lincoln was the very first one. In this book, and I started to think to myself, why did he go down this road with this book? But the more I find and the more I see, especially the cover here, there are a lot of political figures intertwined into this book, which is under the umbrella of Killing the Mob.
Well, first of all, Bo, the organized crime gangsters influence every American today.
Mm-hmm.
So the violence that you see in Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Charlotte, that's generated by organized crime. It's all about drug gangs. And organized crime controls the flow of narcotics to those gangs on the streets. Secondly, you have an image, Americans have an image of these people as kind of heroic because of Marlon Brando as Don Corleone, Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway as Bonnie and Clyde. But in reality, these were terrible people. And third, this is my most contemporary history because we all know what these people, who these people are. And I tell stories about Frank Sinatra, about early rock and roll, about Hollywood. The mob controlled all those industries. Do you remember a show, Bo, I Love Lucy?
Of course I do. Yes, sir.
Everybody listening to us remembers I Love Lucy. Do you remember who Lucille Ball's husband was?
Ricky or Desi Arnaz.
Desi Arnaz, very good. Well, Desi Arnaz, in addition to being in the show, I Love Lucy, was a producer in Hollywood, and his big hit was The Untouchables. And The Untouchables was about Elliot Ness taking down Al Capone and other Italian mobsters. Well, the real godfather of Chicago, Sam Giancana, hated The Untouchables, wrote a letter to his fixer, Sidney Korshak, in Los Angeles, and it was delivered to Desi Arnaz. And the note said, you better knock off all the Italians in The Untouchables. Whereupon Arnaz wrote back to Giancana, what do you want me to make the bad guys, Jews? And Giancana that day put out a murder contract, a hit on Desi Arnaz, hired the assassin. Now, I'm not going to tell you anymore because I want everybody to read Killing the Mob. But Desi Arnaz came this close to having a bullet in the back of his head. Now, we tell stories like that all through the book that nobody knows, nobody's ever heard before. We name all the names, as we always do, no anonymous sources. General Patton's involved. Governor Dewey of New York. It's alleged that the mob gave him $250,000 in a bag. I mean, when you read this book, you're going to go, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, and so that's what I do. That's what I do on these books.
So when you sit down to write one of these books, you obviously have ideas in your head and things you want to learn about. But as you go through the writing process and the research process, what does that entail? Because I imagine you know certain things, but then you find out stories or details about stories that you just articulated that end up on the pages of these books.
Well, let me give you a great example. I wrote a book called Killing Patton. Remember mm-hmm. Killing Patton?
I do.
Okay. So I thought I knew everything about George Patton. So we're researching Killing the Mob, Martin Dugard and I, and we are looking at the diaries of the first godfather, a man named Lucky Luciano, in New York. And we come across a deal that the mafia made with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president of the United States, in 1943. And the deal was that the mafia in Sicily would practice sabotage on the Germans and give General Patton, who was in North Africa, information about where he should invade Sicily. And in return, the U.S. government was going to allow certain mafioso in Sicily to come to the United States after the war, which they did. And that's how modern organized crime exploded. I didn't know about that deal. I had no idea that the mafia was involved with General Patton, and I wrote a book on Patton. So we're always discovering things as we research.
And you have many of these books to talk about. We'll go over some of the other ones in the series. We've got another half hour with Bill O'Reilly, the one and only Bill O'Reilly. I want to talk about some of the headlines in the news today. I want to get his take on the name Trump and where it goes from here. And also some talk about the business that he's in, what he's become in it, and what it took to get there. As part of his latest book, Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard, Killing the Mob, The Fight Against Organized Crime in America. And it's one of many stories that you will learn about in this book. And we were talking about the writing process. And Bill, you have obviously enjoyed this writing process. You wouldn't have this many books in this series by now. This is the 10th that came out this week. You've enjoyed the research part of this, too, I can tell.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's a blast writing Killing the Mob because, as I said, I know, you know, I don't know them personally, but I know about them. So, you know, the 1960 presidential election, Kennedy versus Nixon. Well, the mob and Giancana, again, the godfather of Chicago, threw the election to JFK. And I mean, things like that, Americans aren't quite clear on it. And we walk through it. What happened to Jimmy Hoffa? We do minute by minute how he was assassinated north of Detroit. I haven't seen that anywhere. So we take a lot of time. No anonymous sources, as I said, all primary source material that it, when you read it, you can take it to the bank. But here's why Americans, even if you're not that interested in organized crime, it exists today, and every single American is influenced by the mob. And let me give you a very vivid example. Organized crime in America today is in every town, every area. And you've heard about the opioid crisis, right? The opioid crisis. I know it's big in North and South Carolina. Well, who's running that? That's the mob. And who's the mob's favorite president? That would be Joe Biden. Now, listen to me here. When Joe Biden walked into the Oval Office 103 days ago, or whatever it is, he signed an order dismantling all of Donald Trump's border policies. You remember that, Bo, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay. The result was a flood of migrants into the USA, 400,000 plus in 100 days of foreign nationals that came in here. The unintended consequence of that was that all the Border Patrol and federal authorities on the southern border with Mexico had to tend to these people, 400,000 people, and many of them are children. They had to be fed and sheltered, and they had to be processed. Well, that took all the federal presence away from interdicting narcotics. So the Mexican drug cartels have flooded America in the last 3.5 months with fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine at record levels. And organized crime controls the distribution of that here. The Mexican cartels are not allowed to come here by agreement with the American mob. You don't see the Mexican cartels here. They can smuggle the dope in, but they can't do anything else, and that's by agreement. So the mob loves Joe Biden because Biden has made it far easier to get narcotics, dangerous drugs, into the USA. Did anybody know that? Now, on the No Spin News last night, my daily television broadcast on BillO'Reilly.com, we investigated the press to see if one article was written about what I just told you, Bo. Not one. Nothing. Total blackout. So Americans don't know this is happening. But every one of us, the homeless problem, the opioid problem, the crime, violent crime problem, all stems back to organized crime.
Let me ask you, since you bring up the current administration, we're talking to Bill O'Reilly here on the Bo Thompson Morning Show on WBT. He's graciously agreed to be with us for this hour, so I appreciate that so much. And we'll again talk about the book and how you can get it. But as it relates to current headlines, the Biden administration, 100 days and change. I've heard people who think that it's already a foregone conclusion that Joe Biden is a one-term president and that everybody around him knows that. I'm curious, as you look down the road here, because the next election starts the morning after the most recent one these days, Bill, you've been covering these elections. The Biden administration, where is this going?
It's impossible to tell. It all has to do with the economy. Today, we got bad economic numbers.
Right.
All right. And Joe Biden, obviously, is spending trillions of dollars the government doesn't have. So in order to keep the dollar from collapsing, he has to tax up to everybody's eyebrows. So he says, well, if you're earning less than $400,000, you're not going to pay more tax. That's a lie. You're already paying more tax because the price of gasoline has gone up $1 a gallon on average across the country. Mm-hmm. That's an indirect tax because it went up because Mr. Biden closed down the XL pipeline and told the fossil fuel companies, we're going to put you out of business. Therefore, the oil company said, okay, well, we're going to raise prices as much as we can to build up our treasury to make that transition into whatever you're going to order. That's why that happened. Groceries going up like crazy, all right? Building materials up, I think it's 36% since Biden's in office. So Americans are going to feel pain, economic pain, I am predicting, all right? It okay. might not happen this summer, but it's going to happen. If it does, Joe Biden will become Jimmy Carter, the man he met with last week in Georgia.
Okay, so then my follow-up question leads to his predecessor and someone who many people believe would like to be his successor as well. But President Donald J. Trump, you've interviewed him many times. You've followed his rise, and now I don't want to say fall. It's kind of in limbo right now. We don't know exactly which way he's going. I'm wondering what you. Everybody who interviews him asks him that same question: are you going to run again? And you know, he gives a little bit of a hint in every answer. The most recent interview I heard sounds like it's almost a foregone conclusion. What do you think is going on in the mind of Donald Trump right now, Bill O'Reilly?
Well, I don't think. I know.
Okay.
I saw him a few weeks ago in Mar-a-Lago. I've known him for more than 30 years. I wrote a book on him, a history book, The United States of Trump. So obviously we're talking about it. He wants to run again. All right. He does want to run again. Now, whether he is going to be able to do that is uncertain. The Republican Party, not really enthusiastic about it at this point, but that could change. The worse the economy gets, the better it is for Donald Trump, because he was a successful president on the economy. But you have some pretty stiff competition. You have your Senator Tim Scott, you have Governor DeSantis in Florida, and you have Governor Noem in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
All are very strong candidates. All would like to be president. So it's uncertain, but President Trump would like to run again. I can tell you that with a surety.
That's an interesting name you included in there. Not that I'm surprised he would be on your list, but I wouldn't say he's at the top of every list I hear right now, but he has come to the forefront with his appearance last week doing the Republican response. But you know, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, you think that he is on the short list right now of candidates that are not named Trump?
Senator Scott is a very formidable
mm-hmm.
person.
Of course.
And in my opinion, he's very courageous. To do what he did and tell the country flat out that we're not a racist country, and to explain it in a way that everybody could understand in a dignified manner, a fact-based manner, and then to endure these smear merchants on CNN and MSNBC, the MSNBC woman Tiffany Cross, calling him a tap dancer. I mean, that's a racial slur. And I told my audience, again, on BillO'Reilly.com, we hope people go there, I told my audience that I worked at Fox News for more than 20 years. If anybody had ever said that about any African-American, that they were a quote-unquote tap dancer, they would have been fired when I was there. That could never have happened. Yet NBC News continues to pay this woman to spew racial slurs on television. It's shocking. But you didn't hear Senator Scott reply in kind. I thought that was a tremendous show of discipline and class on the senator's part.
A colleague of mine here at the radio station, Brett Winterbull, was talking to me the other day, and he said, what about this scenario? What about the scenario that perhaps former President Donald Trump would actually run for governor of Florida and Ron DeSantis would run for president of the United States? Ever considered that notion before?
That's not going to happen, Bo. It's not. Come on. I mean, Donald Trump is going to be governor of anything. He's going to get the big job or he's going to be a businessman. I mean, he's not going to run for
governor. Well, and I started looking at the precedent for that happening with anybody, and it's happened a few times, although I tend to think that Donald Trump thinks big or go home. That's the Donald Trump
yes,
that I know.
And that's the Donald Trump that exists. You know, look, my job, I'm so busy, as you know, with the 300 radio stations and the No Spin News on BillO'Reilly.com and the books and all of that. When I hear this kind of conjecture, I just laugh it off. I don't even consider it. I know Donald Trump as well as any journalist mm-hmm. in the world knows him. I know he'd like to be president again. I don't know whether that will be possible.
So, final question on the Trump front for now. You know him well. You think he could run, but what about the should run? Do you think that's the best course of action for President Trump this time around, the way things are right now?
You know, this is going to shock you, but I would never, ever be arrogant enough to say that. It's up to him. I think he helped this country. His policies helped this country. I think he lost because of COVID and his own demeanor that a lot of Americans simply didn't like confrontation every day. But I would never tell Donald Trump or anybody else not to run or to run or anything like that. That's not my job.
All right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask everybody to hang on for one more segment here. Bill O'Reilly's agreed to be with us until 10 a.m. When we come back, Bill, can I ask you a few just kind of overarching career questions?
Sure.
Because I have some questions about how you started, where you are now, and what you think of the business and that kind of thing. Having been someone who's been in it all my professional life, I'm always curious about where somebody like yours head is on certain things. Killing the Mob, the fight against organized crime in America. It is the 10th book in the Killing series by the one and only Bill O'Reilly, who, by the way, has 16 number one bestsellers and 17 million copies of the Killing series are in print. Bill O'Reilly joining me for the whole hour here. And again, Bill, thank you very much for your time today, sir. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Bo.
Let me ask you a few questions, a few parting questions as we hit the top of the hour, and we'll remind people how they can get the book and everything in a moment. And, of course, BillO'Reilly.com and the O'Reilly update coming up at 11:45, less than 2 hours away here. But you mentioned something in our first segment that I thought was very intriguing. I did not know it, that Bill O'Reilly was once upon a time a high school history teacher. Now, people out there are imagining right now what it must have been like to walk into the classroom, and there's Bill O'Reilly sitting ready to teach the class. But I want to talk for a moment about what came before that. I always ask people like you who have risen to levels like this in the media business, where did the bug start? Where did you know you wanted to do this, or was it well before high school, or what?
I was a working-class kid, Levittown, Long Island, modest circumstance. My parents were college-educated, so it was always deemed that I would go to college. Mm-hmm. I was an athlete in high school. I played four sports, baseball, football, ice hockey, and basketball. And then I played college football. I went to a small liberal arts college here. I was like sports obsessed, Bo. I didn't really have a game plan for my vocation. But I wised up when I went over to the University of London my third year in college for an abroad program. And I said, you know, I've been born, luckily, with some talent. And every human being is born with talent. I could do two things. I could bloviate, Irish blarney, I could talk, and I could write. I never took a writing class or anything like that. I just had the natural ability to both those things. So when I taught high school, I knew I didn't want to do that my whole life because I wanted to see the world. I wanted to really expand my horizons. And after I got my master's degree from Boston U, I worked my way up just like most people used to do. Started in Scranton, Pennsylvania, went to Dallas, to Denver, and I made New York the biggest market in the country in 5 years. I got back home. But I busted my butt. Mm-hmm. And it was only the second year I was teaching high school did I say, I think I want to go into journalism. And TV was kind of just an afterthought.
So speaking of TV, or we'll put radio and whatever other medium, maybe it's not favorite interview, most memorable interview you've ever done.
Barney Frank. The congressman from Massachusetts. He lied directly to me and my audience, and I let him have it. And if you want to Google O'Reilly Barney Frank, it's bloody. Organized crime might have hired me after that interview.
And by the way, the name of the book is Killing the Mob, as we make the segue there. Now, I talked about your most memorable interview. What about, is there an interview on the bucket list, one you haven't done that you'd like to do?
The Pope. But he doesn't really do interviews. I spoke to him briefly a few years ago, but I would really like to interview the Pope.
Okay, so as we head to the finish line here, what's on the horizon for Bill O'Reilly? You've done just about everything there is to do. Is there something out there that is churning in your head? Maybe another? I'm sure there's another killing book. There's probably several more of those out there. But we talked about all the things, the platforms you're on right now and where you've been. But what is down the road for you as you look down that road?
Well, I mean, immediately I want to take a nap. That's what's on my...
because of this hour?
I got to figure out how hard I want to work. I've been blessed with good health, and I enjoy what I do, and I think we're effective. I'm glad I'm out of the media. It's corrupt. The corporate media, top to bottom, has fallen apart in this country. They're not telling you the truth. I do provide truth-telling on BillO'Reilly.com, on the radio, in my books. We will write another killing book. It'll be out in late October because they sell so well. The publishers now want two a year. But other than that, after that, I'm going to take it year by year. I just have to see how hard I want to work and how much commitment I have left. But right now, we're happy with our projects. We get to talk to you. We're on WBT, which that's a legacy radio station in this country. We're on fine radio stations coast to coast. So I'm going to stay with what I'm doing for the time being, but I don't know what the future will hold.
Killing the Mob, the fight against organized crime in America. It's out this week, and you said you've got one in the works right now, so stay tuned for more information about others to come. Hey, Bill, you don't have a whole lot of time, and I appreciate you making an hour for me here. It means a lot here on WBT. We turn 100 years old next year, and now we can say Bill O'Reilly's joined me for an hour, so this has been fun.
Well, I'm going to come down on the 100th party, and you guys, I'm sure, will throw a good one. I just want another quick plug. If you buy Killing the Mob from us on BillO'Reilly.com, and it makes a great Mother or Father's Day gift, we'll give you 50% off Killing Crazy Horse. So you'll get two good books. It's an excellent deal. And, Bo, it's really always good to talk to you. Anytime you need me, you give me a buzz, okay?
All right. Well, I will see you at the big celebration next year then. It's set. It's official.
Excellent. I'll be down.
All right. Bill O'Reilly, have a great weekend, sir. Take care.
You too.
News Talk 1110 WBT, 10 o'clock awaits, and we'll talk to you on Monday.